Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Engage to Flourish podcast. This is Damon, I got Brett, I got Kyle with me today, and we are introducing our new series. We kind of had a mini brief intro last week with Dale as our guest, but this is our first official week of going through our series that our whole church is going through on the podcast, in the sermons, and in the small groups. We're talking about the awe of God. So, just to get everything kicked off, how do you guys feel? Are you excited about this series? Are you looking forward to it? What's going on through your head as we get things kicked off?
There's a lot.
I know. I'm like, where do I begin?
For me personally, going through it as the staff was good. And I know it's a little different because I didn't read the book beforehand. Mm-hmm. We had the workbook. Mm-hmm. And that felt more kind of assignment based, right? Mm-hmm. With the questions. It's like, okay, shoot, yeah. I have to answer the question. I have to put something down because Pastor Bear, Auntie Dale is going to say, what'd you put down for number three, Brett? And I don't want to leave it blank. No, but I think the book, it's different. It's mm-hmm. it's hitting different areas of it that I think are good, but challenging. Mm-hmm. And then getting, Pastor Bear kicking off the series with the first sermon, and just getting it from different angles is exciting because I think I'm looking forward to our small group. The rest of the sermon series, reading the book. It's been good, but I know, it's the challenge that's coming. It's the wrestling with things. It's the intentionally thinking about, okay, what does this look like? Is there certain things I have to reconcile? All of that, I already mm-hmm. know. It's there because we've gotten a preview. Mm-hmm. And so I'm kind of like, all right, here we go. I guess, as Pastor Barry would say, it's time to get to the steak, get to the meat, and start chewing on it.
Yeah, I think, we basically went through it as like a preview mode. It's like mm-hmm. we didn't go super deep into it. It was more a little bit higher level to make sure the content was good, the direction. Is this something we want to do as a whole church? So I appreciated it, I received from it, but now it's different this time. Like, having the book for sure is a different depth. And I know Dale was even talking about that at our staff meetings, that really the book is so much better. And now I'm experiencing that. So I think it's good. I'm excited. At the same time, it's knowing what we went through. It's like, oh, it kind of similar to you, Brett. Like, there's a lot of wrestling coming, even for us, that we've already kind of been in that space a little bit, but having a little break from it, now reinserting into it, it's like, oh, this is good, but it's also challenging me personally of like, why are you viewing it that way, or mm-hmm. why are you holding that type of either view or thought or whatever. So overall excited, but it feels a little bit like starting a workout, and I'm like, okay, here we go. I'm going to get a little sore. I'm going to get a little exhausted, fatigued, but I know at the end it's going to be make me stronger.
For me, one of the things that we talked about towards the end of last year is, we just turned 18 as a church, right? Mm-hmm. And so kind of like becoming an adult as a church. And I think, this topic is a much more adult topic mm-hmm. than what we've been going through for the first 18 years, right? It's a very different shift in our season as we are maturing and growing. And we've spent so much time focusing on identity, which is important. Mm-hmm. We spent a lot of time focusing on being children of God and feeling God's love, and so this is a very different topic. And I thought it was interesting how Pastor Barry introed it too, where he talked about the publishers of John Bevere's book. Mm. And really the theme is the fear of the Lord. Mm-hmm. But the series is called Awe of God, right? And so who would want to buy a book called Fear of God? But really, that's what he's talking about. And it's written throughout the Bible, both Old and New Testaments, talk about having the fear of the Lord and how, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. Mm-hmm. But it's a very different topic than the love of God, which we've been talking about for so long. So I really do feel it's a shift in our season as a church. And, the Lord is calling us to something more, calling us to more maturity. And I think that this is kind of kickstarting us off into that. So I'm excited about that. I feel like the Lord has a lot in store for us as we step into this. And that's exciting for me. So Brett, you were talking as we were prepping for this episode about a conversation that you and Brittany had yesterday. And I thought that would be a good place for us to start our discussion on awe of God. So,
Shout out to Brittany.
Bring in the meat.
We do our reading at night, mm-hmm. and we keep each other accountable. Did you read yet? Mm-hmm. Read before we go to sleep. And sometimes we talk about it. And so we read, and I typically read quicker than her. Mm-hmm. So I put my book down, and I started to go to sleep. And
you thought you were going to sleep.
In my mind, I'm about to fall asleep, and I could hear her I could sense that she's like, there's a wrestling going on. She's not quite, everything's not sitting right. Mm-hmm. So then I'm like, with my eyes closed, are you okay? And she's like, yeah, but I'm having a hard time with this. And so then I'm like, okay, you better not fall asleep.
Open my eyes.
So then I ask her what it is. And basically, in our season of waiting, in our season of trying to understand better what it looks like to wholeheartedly surrender, the themes of our church in walking in the light, wholehearted surrender, what does that look like in our lives? And now this awe of God and having healthy fear. She posed some really good questions. She says, how come I feel like I'm like willing to wholeheartedly surrender? Or how come I feel like I'm growing in these areas and certain circumstances or experiences around me, like they're not changing? Mm. And I had to take a moment because in certain aspects, I feel the same way. Mm. There's a lot of things where I think at times you feel like you're following God, and in your head, you know things should be different because of the truth that you believe in, because the hope that you have in him, the power that you know he has. But when they don't, you come to this weird like, okay, what does that mean then? Or what does that look like? Or sometimes it's even like, what am I doing wrong? Mm. And so I know for her, sometimes it could be like, what am I doing wrong then? Like, am I not getting it? And then it starts getting frustrated, all of that stuff. And so I took my time to think about it. And I told her like, yeah, I don't know either. I'm really wrestling with it too. But then I feel like in just having taught the youth, and then with our small group, and listening to different podcasts about different aspects of leadership, surrender, lamenting, all these things we've been talking about, I feel like what God put on my heart was like having a healthy fear of the Lord, wholeheartedly surrendering. All of these things that we're stepping into and walking in as a church, it's not like results based. Mm-hmm. Like part of that healthy fear of the Lord is that in submitting, in surrendering, in continuing to walk, in having that reverence and awe for God, like it's not going to, it doesn't necessarily have to do with the circumstance. It's not going to change the circumstance. But what it does is it transforms your heart. It changes your perspective. And so the manner in which you walk in that circumstance is now different. Mm. And so that may change the circumstance, but it's not like just taking away the circumstance because you did something, right? It's not like answering a test question right, and then now you get a pass, and now it's over. Mm-hmm. At times it may be, but in God's timing and his goodness, like we have to hope and trust that the manner in which like we're carrying ourselves in it, like that's the change or the difference And so while we go through the circumstance, the circumstance is still there, but who we are and who God is calling us to be and he's making us to be is different. And so now when we walk in the circumstance, it's different. And I know that can be difficult to hear. And for Brittany, I'm sure it was difficult to hear. And even for myself, as I'm saying it, I'm like slowly saying it. Cause like, am I doing this? Or is this going to be like just coming out of my mouth? And she's like, well, you're not doing it either. But I remember talking to the youth about wholehearted surrender. And when we're reading some of the Bible passages, you know, God showed up in a lot of ways, but something that they brought up was like in certain stories, like people had to wait a long time. Like it wasn't just like, okay, when Abraham was going to sacrifice his son, God created a substitute, but that whole process beforehand, like he didn't know that there was going to be a substitute. So he had to continue to walk through it. Right. And so, that stood out to me in my perspective of having a healthy fear of God is like, it's not going to just make everything easy and all my path is paved where there's nothing hard to deal with. My circumstance might be there, but that healthy fear is going to allow me to be closer with the Lord. So now walking through that isn't going to be as hard or difficult. And so, something I'm still sitting with, hoping that what God put on my heart was good for my wife and I'm not leading her astray. But I think that's part of what I'm looking forward to in this series is coming to that place of having a greater understanding of a healthy fear of the Lord so that I am more close to him so that I can walk through the circumstance and feel like, okay, circumstance is still here, but I also know that the Lord is here, so I'm good.
Yeah, I think that discussion is going to be something that is going to be ongoing through this whole series is what does the healthy fear of the Lord look like, right? And a lot of times when we think of fear, it's a very negative emotion. It's a very something that causes us to not want to do something, causes us to pause or hesitate. I mean, I just took my kids to Knott's Berry Farm this past week, and one of my kids loves to go on the roller coasters, and one of my kids hates to go on the roller coasters, right? And I'll ask him, why do you not want to go on the roller coaster? I don't want to reveal which kid is which one, but I will ask one of them, you know, why don't you want to go? And it's, I'm afraid, right? And so a lot of times fear causes us, an unhealthy fear causes us to pull back or stop or not want to do something. But when we talk about fear of the Lord, like what you're talking about, Brett, it's actually causing an intimacy or a wanting to come nearer to the Lord, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's going to be a tension that we have to talk about and discuss because just our language doesn't necessarily fit this experience, right? It's very different because a lot of us associate fear with this negative thing. And why do I want to fear God? So a lot of times it's even a subject we don't even want to talk about, right? Because when we think of fear of God, a lot of times it's associated with judgment or, you know, punishment or things like that. And yeah, I think Pastor Barry did address that a little bit on Sunday too.
Mm. Yeah, like having a different perspective or a fuller perspective of that type of fear, right? Yeah, it was actually in the reading that I did yesterday. It talks about some of the benefits of like holy fear and understanding it. Mm. And there was one thing I just kind of remembered as you were both talking. The fear of the Lord produces confidence, fearlessness, and security. It swallows up all other fears, including the fear of man. Mm. And so it's interesting, this paradox of like, I want more of this type of fear, or I want to be closer to this type of fear, when usually fear is like get away from it, or it's has negative, more of a negative consequence or a feel to it. But then as we start understanding more of what the fear of the Lord is and what the benefits are to us, it's like, oh, if I'm able to understand more fully the fear of the Lord and what that means, it actually drowns out the other fears and it actually puts them in their proper perspective. it doesn't mean that they go away, because I think there's still that good fear, right? There's healthy mm-hmm. fear of, like, you're on the ledge of a building that's 10 stories up. Like, you should be careful and you should step back, because mm-hmm. if you make the wrong step, you're going to die. So that a fear of death, a fear of being hurt, there's some good things that come with that. But if you walk around always thinking, well, I could die at any moment, that's an unhealthy fear that death takes over, you know? So it's interesting. As he lists on it, if you have the book, it's in like page 18 and 19. It is interesting reading through some of those, and I'm like, okay, how many of those do I actually believe? Mm. How many of those have I heard before, but yet I don't believe them, or I haven't really experienced, or I haven't really stepped into that? And then how many it's like, oh man, I don't know. Like, that's hard to wrap my head around. So mm-hmm. I think just going through that list, I think the first part of the list was, I didn't really define it, but I thought it's going to be an interesting journey for people, whether they're mature Christians, whether they're, you know, mature in their faith or new. These are things that I don't think people really spend the time to explore. So I think they're really going to get some, a little bit of pushback, I think, from the Lord. Like, okay, is that a healthy view? Are you sure you've really thought that through? Because I think, like, Brett, I think you were saying that there's going to be a lot of tension. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a lot of tension of like, oh, but this feels better to me. I want to operate this way. But if I go too far that way, then I'm discounting this other aspect of God. And mm-hmm. and I think that's really that place of deeper intimacy, deeper understanding, but it's not an easy place to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like with the themes and they're doing the reading and hearing the sermon series, especially in small groups and any types of discussions, I really feel like it'll be how willing are people to walk in the tension in these mm-hmm. conversations, because it's not going to be as straightforward, or the truths may be straightforward, but how you receive them and reconcile them and feel like they work out and balance each other is not going to be as easy to just say, oh, it's just like this. Mm-hmm. And so the ability to ask questions, to discuss certain things and sit with God and wrestle with things is going to be, I think, the product will become how much you get out of it is like how much you're willing to walk in that tension, which mm-hmm. will be interesting. And I know for some people that's overwhelming, mm-hmm. But I think that's why it's good. We're also doing it in small groups, so we have people mm-hmm. we could walk with in doing it.
Yeah. As you were talking, I was just thinking, yeah, really we need to talk about how engagement in this is really going to affect what we get out of it. And then you said that,
for sure.
But you know, it reminds me of the reading that I did last night, and it was talking about this time where John Bevere was going to go speak at this big conference, mm. and he was really excited. He's like, there's going to be all these believers there that they're going to really get excited, and the Lord's going to show up. And then when he got on the stage and he started speaking, he was like, where's the Lord? It's dead in here. And then he said he felt like the Lord highlighted to him, look around, look at what people are doing. And everybody was talking to each other. They weren't engaged. They were on their phones. They were doing other things. Some people went up to go get concessions. Just people weren't engaged. And then he ended up like calling everybody out. Mm-hmm. And then when people actually got engaged, then the Lord showed up and his presence showed up. And really, I feel like that's kind of a picture of what it's going to look like for us too, is mm-hmm. when we're not engaged, we're not going to get very much out of this series. I mean, it could be really easy to disengage, because who wants to talk about fearing God or things like that? But if we're really engaged, this could be a transformative thing, you know? And like I said last week, Pastor Sam told me, go buy the book. So I bought it on my own before we even knew we were for sure going to go through this. Because he said it was life transforming for him, right? And so I really do feel like the more we engage with it, the more that we allow the Lord to work in this area and to grow us in what it looks like to have a healthy fear of the Lord. And we will experience more and more of his manifest presence. You know, like we talk about, and he talks about in the book, there's different ways that the Lord's presence is described in the Bible. One is his omnipresence, where the Lord is everywhere, right? Mm-hmm. But then there's one where it's his manifest presence, and it's the our experience of his presence being in the room. Mm. And really, that's something that I feel like all of us that are believers, we want more of that, right? And so this is one area that as we engage in, we're opening ourselves up to more experiencing more of his manifest presence in our life and each day.
Yeah, I want to ask you guys personally, it may sound weird, but like, what is your relationship with fear? Because I'll give you guys some time. I struggle with being anxious. Mm-hmm. And so from what I've learned from like psychologists and different things, being anxious, I mean, stems from fear, the same like hormones and enzymes that are secreted when you're scared are those same ones when you're anxious, which happen to be the same ones when you're excited, but it's just the opposite. But so walking that line of being fearful and having that balance of like how scared I am, or is fear dictating a decision, versus being able to cope or still continue to do something despite the fear is always tough for me. And so when I hear fear, I automatically think of something that my dad told me, was like, well, what's dictating your decision? If it's out of fear, then it's probably not what God wants for you. But then we get up to this conversation of the fear of the Lord, and having a healthy fear of the Lord, it kind of doesn't apply to that same question. And so I know my relationship with fear has been difficult and confusing growing up, just because it was always like, I think one of you guys mentioned earlier, like to stay away from it. Mm-hmm. Always try to get away from it, either how to overcome it, get rid of it, don't enter into situations where I know it's going to happen. But the fear of having a healthy fear of the Lord and wanting to step into that, wanting to understand what that looks like, can be hard for me to kind of figure out what are those lines, or what does that look like? What does that even mean with the vocabulary and things like that? And so I'm not sure if there's other listeners that might, mm-hmm. you know, shy away from it just because of the word fear or their relationship with it. So I wanted to know for you guys, where do you guys kind of stand, or how do you see it?
Where do I begin? I have a love-hate relationship with fear. It's honestly, it's still the number one way that the enemy attacks me. And so I've overcome in a lot of ways, and I look back and I've put a lot of them behind me. But I can tell when things pop up, when I start feeling anxious, I can tell it's fear-based. I know there's a fear attached with it. I can see it. And it's hard sometimes in that moment to then even separate from it or pull away from it, even though I know what's happening. So yeah, hearing that word is challenging. I think that for me, having explored more of what grace is and God's love was very needed to kind of combat that. But now I'm also becoming more aware of, but the fear of the Lord is different, and it also prevents me from other poor choices or other letting other types of things in besides fear that can derail me or put me on a wrong path. So I think it's interesting. Like, I think when we went through this study, it didn't trigger me as much as I thought it would. Like hearing the fear of the Lord. There could be different factors. I think some of it is kind of reconciling some of that and having some victory over fear. But I think some of it, we can discuss this at different points in this series too, is just different bents towards truth or grace or like in the book, it's it's the two guardrails. It's the ditches. One is
lawlessness and legalism.
Yeah, but it's fear. Is it fear and love?
Yeah, it's fear and love.
Fear and love. So it's like, Yeah, like I needed more of that love to help me overcome the unhealthy fear. Mm-hmm. But now I'm like, oh, but I need that other type of fear, the good fear, the fear of the Lord, to help me stay on and counterbalance that, the love of God. Because if I go too far and ignore that part, I go too far to love, then that leads towards lawlessness. It leads to, oh, it doesn't really matter, or that's not that significant. But in a couple of weeks, I'm going to be giving the message, and a big part of it is holiness. And it's like, yeah, Jesus died for our sins, but God still hates sin. Like, he hates it. So anytime I sin, it's like, he hates that. Yes, I'm covered by Jesus' blood and all that, but there's still like, wow, like that still hurts him. And I'm like, oh, if I don't have that view, it doesn't cheapen what Jesus did, but it's not getting the full respect of what he did and still how God views it, because he still is just, and he's still, so it's like, man, that it's challenging. It's an interesting journey through fear.
For me, my relationship with fear, I think at the beginning, when I was younger, it stemmed from identity issues, right? So some of it was just not being enough or things like that. So approaching situations, it's like, how am I going to be able to do that? I'm not good enough. And so the fear was stemming from the insecurity of the identity issues, right? So I felt like when we went through a lot of the identity stuff as a church, that really helped to shore up some of the fear that I had. But then as things evolved and as I started to shore up some of those areas, I feel like a lot of the fear was stemming from just the different ways that the enemy would attack me with certain truths, like where it was kind of like, or I'll give an example, like it could be an identity issue, but it was based on a truth. Like, oh, you're not as tall as that person. It's like, well, that's true. I'm not as tall as that person. I mean, and that's kind of like a whatever one, right? Mm-hmm. But it's like, oh, how can you compare with this person when they're something true, right? And so it was like, okay, well, what is this coming from? What's going on? So then it was like, how do I reconcile some of these things when the enemy's attacking me with like things that are semi-true, right? And so, you know, whether it's being afraid of, for example, like if it was a roller coaster, afraid of going on roller, well, it's high and you might fall. Well, that's true. Or, you know, like a couple weeks ago at Knott's, they had one of the rides broke down and someone was upside down or something for a long time, right? And so, right, my kids were like, we don't want to go on that ride because that could break down and we'll get stuck. It's like, well, that's true. It happened, you know, like, and so some of the fear would stem from things that the enemy would say, like, well, this actually happened. This is true. Don't do that or be afraid. And then it's like, okay, well, there's a tension. It's like, well, if I feel like the Lord is calling me to do it, but then there's a truth on the, so it's like, okay, well, how do I move forward in that? And I think that talking about this fear of the Lord and expanding our understanding of who God is and how big God is and how awesome God is, it's like, oh, that changes things. Because originally it was like, oh, yes, that was true, but God's not big enough, or God doesn't have his mind on me enough that he would get me through that situation if it were to happen again. But as we're starting to go through this even more and dive deeper in, it's like, oh no, God can make the impossible happen. So even though that was true, that doesn't mean it's going to be true again. Right? So just because the roller coaster broke down in the past doesn't mean it's going to break down the next time we go on it. Right? So having this understanding and this greater view of who God is, and it's like, oh, that's shifted some of the fear too. Not to say that it's all gone, but just in examining my own inner workings and things like that, it's shifted. And the other thing too, for me, I think cleansing seminar was a big one too in regards to fear. It's helped me to recognize times when I'm not walking in alignment. And so I feel like when I'm walking in the Spirit, that fear isn't as prevalent as it is when I'm walking in the flesh. And so when that comes up, when that arises, it's like, okay, I need to do my alignment prayer. I need to get back in alignment, and I need to let the Spirit and let the Holy Spirit lead me and not just my flesh or my thinking or my emotions, and go in that direction.
That's really good. Thanks for sharing. I think sometimes, I mean, even as leaders, I think through this series, it seems like, you know, guys like you who are speaking or involved with service, seems like you guys know it all and have all the answers. But I do think it's helpful to hear how you guys have navigated through it and are navigating through it, because really that's where our the rest of our congregation and the body will be. In your understanding, how would you then characterize like a healthy fear of the Lord? Because there's ways where I think I try to describe it or gain an understanding from it. And I think sometimes people's different perspectives and perceptions of it help. Because sometimes we may see it in a limited view, like you guys said, in a limited way. And then it's like we're missing out on really the more fullness of it. And I know it's something that we may not fully be able to encapsulate, but just to give people a better idea, a more well-rounded understanding of it, if you guys have any things you just want to toss out or aspects of it.
So initially, the first thing that comes to mind is the first time I went to Bryce Canyon. So the first time I went to Bryce Canyon, Tracy was telling me, okay, we got to go to this place. And I knew nothing about it, right? I knew nothing about Bryce Canyon other than that somewhere that she wanted to go. And she's like, okay, let's go. So we were driving there, and you don't see anything, right? And park in the parking lot, it's like, this just looks like a forest or something. And she's like, okay, we have to go walk out. So we walk out, and there's kind of like this wall, and there's like this entryway, and you go through this thing. And then I walk outside, and this huge canyon with this amazing view. I was just like, wow, this is awesome. I want to get closer. But then you look down, and it's like, oh shoot, that's like a couple hundred feet drop, right? Into the canyon. But it's like, wow, I want to get so close, because, and you know, things, it's big and it's far. There's certain areas that are far away. So it's like, I want to get as close to this as possible. But then at the same time, it's like, oh, but if I get even closer, I'm just going to fall into it.
Yeah.
So, but just the grandeur of it, and just think, the first thing that came to mind when I saw it is like, wow, God, you created this just for me to come here today to see this. Right. And so it was like this sense of like awe and wonder, but at the same time, like, wow, I could really just step off this ledge and die right now at the same time too. So just, yeah, it was just kind of this, for lack of better words, like amalgamation of all of these different emotions at the same time. It's like this, wow, this beauty, this wonder, this power that God had to make this amazing scene. And at the same time, it's like, oh shoot, I better not step too close, because I could really fall. You know, and there were parts where she wanted to walk out, like there's these little trails and stuff where it's like, oh yeah, this is kind of cool. We're going on this little trail, but on one side is like a cliff and the other side is a cliff, and it's like a 2-foot wide trail thing. So yeah, I was like, this is amazing, but it's scary at the same time. But yeah, so it was just this kind of like, wow, this is pretty amazing. And it, just the grandeur of it, that's different than if you were to see it on TV or if you were to look at a painting or something. Just being in the midst of it, that was like, wow, I want to stay here. I'm drawn closer to it. But at the same time, like, yeah, I'm kind of deathly afraid of it at the same time too.
I don't know how to enter that. It's hard, because it's like, even I think John Bevere in his book describes it too. It's like hard to put words to it. It's awe, it's reverence, it's purity, holiness. It's all these different things all combined at the same time. So, I think in some ways it's, I don't know, I haven't thought this out too much. It's the holy fear of God is not wanting to do it wrong. not in the sense of I'm going to be punished, but because of like, oh, that's like the pure way to do it. Mm-hmm. And if I don't do that, I'm not that I'm defiling God, but I'm defiling his plan. So there's like, because that's like, there's like an awe and reverence of that. So and not to get into like it's like legalistic type of thing, but it's like, I think that's the part where it draws you closer because it's like, oh wow, like he is pure. He is like Moses, like take your shoes off. You're standing on holy ground and you fall face down to the ground because it's like, I'm not worthy to be around you. Mm-hmm. But then when then in this part of his character too, where he then gives you instructions or he calls you towards him. And then it's like, well, I want to do this well. I want to do this to a high level. To me, that's like, there's like an aspect of that that's, I think, hard to grasp or hard to envision and separate it from the punishment side. Mm. And I think that's, honestly, I think that's where a lot, like we were talking a little bit before we started, like Damon brought up the idea of seeing God as like the punisher in the Old Testament. I think a lot of times people go that direction, but it's still the same God. He's still just, and it comes across maybe a little harsh at times, but it's still his fullness. And there's circumstances a lot of times that those people, they deserved a lot of it. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like how do you operate in that? And then, no, like, hey, yeah, you're fully God. You are perfect, and you can kind of do that, and still we can't judge you, and we can't go against you. But with the grace that we have through Jesus, then it's like, okay, well, because of that, I want to get closer to you. I want to operate more in alignment with who you are and how you want me to operate. So. Mm.
I know it's tricky. I give you guys a tough question because I'm still.
I know that's why Damon's got to go first on this one. So.
I agree with both of you, and it is hard to put into words. And I've been trying to sit with it or just think about it from time to time, especially as going through the first week, and then I know we're gonna have small group, and so just discussing it. And a couple things I think that really were. I guess pressed upon me or just really highlighted in my heart was that the idea, Kyle, you brought it up, is like when you have a healthy fear of the Lord, it like draws you closer, because to me that like, it just doesn't make sense, right? To normally conceptualize to be afraid of something, but it draws you in, goes against like human nature. And so that's where to me, there's like this, and then like you said, Dame, does like grandeur about it of like, it's so beast that even though there's this healthy fear, it like draws you closer to God. And I think that's one thing that I'm personally trying to seek in this study is to how can I have that perception perspective to where like it draws me closer. And so as I was thinking about that, something that kind of came up was, is there an aspect of having a healthy fear of the Lord in all of his honor and majesty and power, that's almost like a fear of not being like with him. Mm. Like, not that it's a one-for-one, like that definition of a healthy fear of the Lord equates to that, but to me, there's almost this aspect of like, wow, he's so powerful. That he has and does, it's like, I don't want to be without that. Mm. And almost having that type of fear where it's like, dang, I want to be close to him. I want to draw near. And I don't know if that's confusing for people to hear, because now it's like.
I think Kyle's speaking on that in 2 weeks, aren't you?
Okay, well, I won't dive into it too more, but I think just that idea is something where that came up in like, okay, like, that's probably an aspect of the drawing near and something that I want to explore.
Yeah, I think in reading a little bit further, it's the distinguishing between reverence and fear. Because I think that word, it is better used as like reverence, because I think then we could equate or we can relate to it easier and better.
Mm.
But it's beyond, it's so much beyond that, mm-hmm. that it's not the right word for it.
Mm.
So it's like that word fear is like the right translation, but because of the way we view unhealthy fear and like that kind of stuff, it makes it very hard to go in this direction, which when you were just sharing it, I think it really points to what was said earlier, that you need to put the time in to wrestle with this. You need to put the time in to pursue it. And the encouragement I give to people is, this stuff is still messing with Pastor Barry. I mean,
mm-hmm.
he's still wrestling with this stuff, and he's still like, wow, like how have I, or how am I viewing this? And do I need to adjust things? Mm. And it's that lifelong journey, but it doesn't happen just by, oh yeah, I got it. We're supposed to fear the Lord. It's beyond that.
Yeah. I think for me, growing in the fear of the Lord, growing in a more full understanding of who God is, it actually highlights and expands my understanding of his love.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like the smaller God is, the less love there is, right? But the bigger God is in my mind, it's like, wow, there's even more, right? Mm. So an example that came to mind was, I had a friend come to church. This was back when we were at CBC. And during that time that he visited, Pastor Barry came up and he talked to me, and he's like, oh, my friend was like, who's that? And I was like, oh, that's our pastor. He's like, your pastor talks to you? Like, he knows who you are? That mm-hmm. that concept didn't register for him, that, mm. you know, this pastor, holy person, would talk to me, a regular person, on, you know, as part of the congregation, that he would know who I am. But then really it's like, the bigger that we understand God, who God is, mm. it's like, wow, this God, the creator of the universe, this huge being, for lack of better terms,
mm-hmm.
knows who I am, and he loves me. Mm. Like, wow, you know, and it just expands the view of how much his love impacts my life, because mm. it's like, but if I think of God as a small person, as like, oh, he's like my friend, you know?
Yeah.
Not in a bad way, God's my friend, but just like,
yeah, if your awe and reverence is diminished, then yeah.
If I think of him as like Brett, like one of my good friends, it's like, okay, he's able to love me at that level.
Mm.
But then when I think of him as God, the creator, it's like, whoa, like that. And he loves me so much that he sent his son to die for me. It's like, whoa, mm. like, what does that say about how he views me? What does that say about, so kind of like I was sharing at the beginning or earlier about the identity issues and not being good enough or not being, it's like, that speaks into that area. It's like, wow, God, this creator did this for me.
Mm.
But if I think of him in a smaller way, then it doesn't impact my life in such a profound way.
Mm.
And so growing in this understanding of who God is, and this awe and this fear, it actually impacts my life in a deeper way, because it amplifies how much he loves me at the same time too.
Mm. One thing I feel like I'm kind of getting from hearing you guys share too, in talking about like reverence and in certain ways wanting to do things the way that God wants us to, it's almost like the world and stuff, we've been like desensitized mm-hmm. to sin, to things that are opposite of God, so that, yeah, there is less like, oh, it's not too bad, right? There's more of that grace and love and acceptance, and everything is okay, so that it is harder to deal with the fear of the Lord, because it seems so stark. But I think in our conversation, and even some of the prep before, and not knowing, okay, how do we approach this first one? I think a lot of it will come down to perception and perspective change, mm-hmm. and just being willing to have that openness, because, yeah, when we kind of pigeonhole God or feel like we have him boxed in and this is just how it is, we miss out on the full picture. And I think this series, and especially dealing with this topic, is meant to kind of go outside the box, like open up the box. It can't be too small, like you said. And so we got a lot of good ahead of us, but my mind's already going like, dang, there's a lot to chew on and think about.
Yeah, I think Pastor Barry's imagery that he was using about the difference between milk and steak is really good for this series, because it is going to take a lot of us sitting down, doing the work, reading the book, wrestling with the topics that are being talked about in the small groups or in the sermons or on the podcast, and just the different ways that some of these topics and some of these themes might be very different than how we've perceived them in the past. And we're going to have to wrestle with it. We're going to have to chew it. We're going to have to, maybe some parts we might have to spit out, right? And that was something that we were talking about in the staff, is like, are people ready for this? And I think one of the things we are, I think we are ready for this, but it's how are we going to engage it, right? I think people are ready, but are we going to allow some of our past perspectives or perceptions cloud our readiness for it and say, oh, I'm not ready for it? You know, I've heard people say like, oh, God doesn't talk to me, right? It's like, well, is that really true, or is that just your perception? Maybe you should be open to exploring it, right? And so I think in a similar way with this, hearing fear of the Lord, that might just be the enemy's way of trying to get us from diving in and chewing on this, because he knows if we grow in our fear of the Lord, then that's going to be life transforming for us.
I agree.
Okay, so you're trying to pull on me today, and the chairs are in positions are changed.
No, I feel like this episode's kind of naturally wrapping up. I think that's a good way to end it, of like, hey, is that, if we have those kind of thoughts and those voices saying, yeah, I don't know if I want this, I'm not ready for it, or whatever, whose voice is it? Really? And it's like, God wants us to understand him more fully. He wants us to understand even the aspects of him that are difficult and that are challenging. And he'll meet us where we're at, and he'll help us to digest as much and chew as much as we're able to. So, you know, according to your maturity and your journey, it's okay. Like, just start the journey and start chewing on the meat instead of just getting stuck on the milk. Like, nah, I'm okay. I'm just going to stay with the comfy stuff, the stuff that makes me feel good. It's like, well, that's good for seasons, and that's good at times. We need to go back to that even. But for as a church, like you said, Damon, we're adults now. Like, we need to step into more of this kind of stuff. And it doesn't mean we're going to do it all year, all the time, but we need to have more of this, and we need to be maturing ourselves, and we need to be maturing others.
When you said that, Damon, I just thought of Shaq with his icy hot plug saying, man up. Just always telling everyone, man up. Stick some icy hot on that thing. Man up.
That's an interesting vision right now. Okay. All right.
One encouragement I actually gave to my small group, just because going through the workbook and stuff, and even in the discussion groups we had with the staff, there was a lot of questions and other questions that came up that weren't in the book. Mm-hmm. While you're doing your reading, or you're at small group, or you're even just in service, like, bring a journal or something to write and write down questions or takeaways or things that you're kind of like, huh, I never thought about it that way, just to give you, something to come back to, or go to your small group to have, something that's maybe more palatable to engage with. 'Cause sometimes it's hard to just remember and absorb everything and say, okay, I got it, and now I can just talk about it. But to have it written down, like, if you're not sure about something, or what does this mean, or what does that look like, that's a really easy and good way to create more engagement, to have questions, things to talk about and discuss. And so I encourage my small group to do it. I would encourage everybody else to do that, just so that, I don't know, the more that you put into it, I'm hoping we'll all get out of it, and God will meet us in those places.
And if you have a good question or a good set of questions, you can always send them to us.
Yeah.
We might talk about them or answer.
We'll ask Brett what he thinks.
I'm not afraid of saying I don't know, so.
So you can send them to us, you can share them with us at church on Sunday, or you can come on the podcast and ask about it, and we can have a good discussion with you on it. So, you know, we're always looking for more guests to come on. People are always encouraged by the different people that have been coming on.
Yeah, like we even had Brittany here in spirit, right? You were like relaying her conversation from yesterday. So you do that to us at church, we can relay your conversation as well. But we do prefer when you're here in person.
Yeah, so write those questions down, send them in. I mean, this is going to be, like we said, a season where we're chewing a lot. So you can help us out by giving us some things for us to talk about on the podcast, and hopefully we'll be able to have a good discussion with it. So send in your questions, come on the podcast. We invite it all.
Especially when you send them in, say, I want to ask Brett this. So just at least start it that way.
As long as you have the correct perspective that I might not answer it, then send in whatever you want.
Or if you want to, oh, I want Mark Biles to answer this question. And then we'll have to have other people come on the podcast too.
Oh, wow.
Or Kyle, I heard you're speaking in a couple of weeks. Can you speak on this to incorporate this into your message?
Better send those soon, because that's coming quick.
All right. I think that'll do it for this episode. You know, like, this has been a good discussion for us, and it's going to continue to be a good discussion for the next few weeks as we go through the awe of God. So we're really looking forward to continuing this discussion. Also wanted to give a shout out to Sanjay. I know he's a loyal listener, so just wanted to give a shout out. Sanjay, thanks for listening. Wanted to give a plug too. He's been doing a movie weekly during the day. He's been going through the Chosen series. So if you have some time during the day, and I think we're only on episode 3 right now, so we're still at the very beginning. And if you want to have a group of people to watch The Chosen with, Sanjay can add you to the group and send you out a link. And we're watching it together online, so you don't have to show up anywhere. You can just watch it from wherever you're at. It's also available. I mean, the way that he does it, it's super cool. You could do it from your phone. You could do it from a computer. You could do it from anywhere. So want to give a shout out to Sanjay. Thanks for listening to the podcast. So thanks to all the other listeners out there, too. We appreciate you. And until next time, may you experience God's heart for you to flourish in every season.